Good evening. Do you all remember what a beatitude means? We've been talking about that for a while. Before I mention that, I want to mention this. If y'all did not get rain, y'all need to talk to Carol. Because Carol got rain. Everybody I talked to says, no, we didn't get no rain. But I saw Carol put on Facebook, thank you, Lord, for the great rain. We got rain, so she got rain. So whatever she's doing something right. So y'all go talk to her if y'all need rain. And she will tell you what she's doing. We started a series on the Beatitudes. I've been a little lax on this series. I do it whenever I can, whenever the opportunity is here. So we're working our way through the Beatitudes. The Beatitude is defined by Webster as a state of utmost bliss. A state of utmost bliss. The opening of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 is where we will find the Beatitudes. And these are statements that always start with, blessed are the, or blessed is the, or blessed. They start with that. But in continuing the series on Beatitudes, we've come to the sixth Beatitude found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is one, this one is really interesting in that our first thought probably goes to John 1:18. John 1:18, it says in John 1:18, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The word see in this verse comes from the Greek word optonomai, which denotes more than merely looking at. It is when I read it, I thought, that even makes it even harder. It's defined as gaze with wide open eyes as at something remarkable. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall gaze upon God as at something remarkable. And we'll get back to that in a little bit later, because that comes in to that seeing God very, very clearly. The word pure comes from the Greek word katharos or katharos, which means clean, clear, pure. Webster defines pure as untainted. Untainted. In Jesus' day, the idea of purity was taken from the physical. It was taken from those things that were clean in ceremony. So they would have their ceremonies, and they had to wash themselves. If you talk about, remember when Jesus, they asked him, why do your disciples not wash their hands? Everything was about the outward appearance. It was all about being clean on the outside, when in reality, they weren't really clean on the inside. They had some issues, okay? So purity was that ceremonial type, but Jesus told them pureness was of the heart. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27, Matthew 23 verse 27, he says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. He tells them literally this, you're just like an urn that on the outside it's clear and clean and beautiful, but on the inside it's got the death in it. It's got a dead man in there, right? Or a casket, whatever the case may be. In this particular instance, sepulchre is used, but we get the idea and we get the point. He literally points out to them, he says, even so, outwardly, you appear to be righteous. They would do all the things they had to do to make themselves appear righteous and to appear clean. They would, in public, they would make these prayers and things like that. But he says, inwardly, you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity, which is transgression. Jesus demanded that a man's heart be pure before he could be right with God. It's of a pure heart. If you'll remember, as we started our series on the Beatitudes, I pointed out the fact that these Beatitudes aren't things that we're looking for in other people or other nations. It's not like we look at, okay, the meek shall inherit the earth. Who are the meek? I guess they are the Orient, or they are these people. Or no, it's not like that at all. He's giving us these Beatitudes as to express to us that is how we should be. These are attributes that we should strive to obtain and to exhibit in our lives. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Well, let's look at a few passages and see if we can get a better understanding of exactly what that means. Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. Here we see the psalmist says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Create in me a clean heart, O God. David, the writer of this psalm, had a pure heart, but he was overcome with lust, and in time he committed sin. Because of that sin, this psalm was written, and because of that sin, he is seeking out a clean heart, a renewed spirit. If you've ever read this chapter, the 51st Psalm, it's very, very deep. He goes on, he says all of these things. He's just pouring his heart out to God. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. I want to be back where I was before. I want to get that back." Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." So having a pure heart is being pure through and through. We know some people that they're real nice on the outside, but they're not very nice once you get to know them, or they're really not a very, very nice people. They may appear to be nice. No one knows you like you know you except for God. Now you think about this. We just read in Matthew 23, Jesus himself condemned the scribes and Pharisees because they were hypocrites. They appeared to be pure on the outside, but he could see through their hypocrisy. You know what? Other people can see through hypocrisy as well. You don't have to be the Son of God to see through people's hypocrisy. You don't have to be Jesus himself to see that some people pretend to be all that, but in reality they're not. It doesn't take long to look at our numbers on the board and see how much we drop off on Sunday night to see that some people, their heart is not right with God. They couldn't care less. Well, you can't say that. That's not nice. That's not right. Well, where are you? The pure in heart will seek God. But we don't see that here. And many times we see a lot of people that are just indifferent to the gospel. They're indifferent to the Bible and God's word, period. They're indifferent towards God, and they'll stand before the judgment someday and have to answer for that, as we all will. But we see, like I said, the Pharisees were hypocrites. They appeared pure on the outside. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." We need to examine ourselves sometimes and take a good look, make sure we don't fall into this same category. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night, how there are some people that have drifted off and they've just kind of fallen into a lull and not really going anywhere. That Wednesday night lesson, I can tell you people, those of you who were here, that was straight to me. I pulled that out because that's the way I feel sometimes. I feel like sometimes I've been kicked down into another gear and I can't change. You ever drive down the road and you're driving along and you see some car going down the road and they're going really, really slow? They're going like 30 miles an hour in a 70 mile an hour zone. Get out of the way. What is wrong with you people? Oh my goodness. Oh, I want to go by, have some kind of sign, you know, find your gas pedal or something like that. But let me tell you something that happened. One time I had a worker working for me, and he bought a little car. He was going through some financial troubles. He sold his vehicles, and he went and bought. His brother-in-law worked at a dealership. He found him a used car that somebody traded in for $200. He bought this car, and he said, "You're driving it to work. You're driving 5 miles to work every day. You drive that thing to work every day, and you'll be able to save up some money because it gets good gas mileage. It doesn't cost you nothing." So he's driving that car to work, and my wife, I got home one day, and she goes, "Man, I saw Rick today. I got behind him right at Super S. He said he was driving 25 miles an hour from Super S all the way out to 35. There was a line of traffic. By the time we got there, the traffic was backed up from the stop sign all the way to Super S." That's Rick. So I asked him one day, I said, "Hey, Darla said she got behind you on the highway out there and you're driving really slow." I said, "Is that why everybody..." He used to tell me people called him Grandpa because he knew so much. I said, "I think we figured out why they call you Grandpa, because you drive 25 miles an hour." And he kind of got red in the face and he goes, "That's as fast as that car will go." He said, "I had it to the floor. It wouldn't go no faster." He said, "Every day I drive 25 miles an hour all the way to work because the car will not go any faster." Okay, so sometimes as our Christianity, I feel like we get to that point where we got the pedal to the floor and we're just not going anywhere. We're just at a level that we're not growing. We're not doing anything. We need to get out of that. Get out of that rut and move on. Create in me a clean heart, O God, Psalm 51. Let's move on. We need to try to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we examine ourselves and find out that we don't, or try to make sure we don't fall into that. Remember when God showed Peter and that the Gentiles would be able to share in the inheritance? It caused quite a stir among the Pharisees. They were of the opinion that one had to be circumcised to become a Jew in order to be saved. Peter stood up on behalf of God and on behalf of the Gentiles. Listen to what it says in Acts 15, verse 8 and 9. Acts chapter 15, verse 8 and 9 says, "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Okay, our hearts are purified by faith according to this passage. Now, the reason I bring that up is because these people had the mindset that Gentiles are no good. They're dogs. They're low life. And God says, no, they're not. No, they're not. They're people created by me just like you. They're no different. I bring this passage up because the Jews believed they were the chosen people. And they were the chosen people. But they were special because they were chosen. They weren't chosen because they were special. Okay, and sometimes we kind of get that same attitude as Christians. Well, we're Christians, we're saved. You know, we're saved and you're lost. Well, that may be true. And we're saved because we obeyed the gospel and they're lost because they haven't. And so we have to be careful with that. We need to remember that we picture purity as something religious. However, we can be very religious and still not be pure. Look at the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the most religious people of their day, and yet they were not pure. In fact, they were told, the people of that day were told, you do as they say, but don't do as they do, because they don't do the things that God wants them to do. They say it, and they say it right, because they know the scriptures, they know the word of God. When you think of cleanness, we sometimes think of outside, as mentioned earlier, but you can have someone who just got out of the shower, they put on clean clothes, they brush their teeth, they comb their hair, they're completely clean, they smell nice, everything's fine, man, that person is very clean. Then they open their mouth and they start telling a filthy joke, or they start talking about something that's ungodly ways, or they start defending some ungodly stuff, and we realize that they're not as clean as they look. Purity can be exhibited in various ways, and just because we're clean on the outside, or just because we wash ourselves or whatever, doesn't necessarily mean that we are clean or of a pure heart. In fact, if you think about this, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. I want to get into the inside. Forget about all those other things. The pure in heart is get into the mind. The heart, as we see, is not that pulsing muscle in our chest that he's talking about, but it's the intellect, the pure intellect. You think about this, when you work in the world, and I know many of you do, and you're out in the secular workforce, and you're dealing with secular people all the time, and they've got their filthy innuendos, their filthy jokes, their filthy language, everything about them is filthy. Until you've been removed from that, you don't realize how bad it is. I've mentioned before how the TV has gotten worse and worse and worse. Ask somebody that's in their 70s, what was TV like back in the 50s and 60s? Ask them what it was like long time ago. Oh, it was clean. You couldn't say those bad words on TV. Couldn't say all that. Now the commercials alone. I cannot believe they're showing this commercial. We have little kids watching this TV. Okay, so everything has gotten worse and worse and worse. The world has gotten worse. If you remove yourself from it, if you were only around Christians every single day, every day during the week and every day on the weekends, you're only around Christians all the time, even for a week, you would realize how evil and how sinful this world really is. We have to be careful that we don't let that overcome us. We have to make sure that that doesn't become part of us. We have to exhibit Christianity. We're pure in the heart in here. Don't let them corrupt you. In other words, we start thinking like they think if we start hanging around with them too much. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. We're told here in Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know that you ought how you ought to answer every man. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. I looked at this verse and was like, what does it mean, how you ought to answer every man? It doesn't mean giving the right answer to a question. It means that your speech needs to be pure and of a pure motive. And I use this illustration. Imagine Bo or Duke sarcastically answering their dad even though the answer is right, sarcastically answering their dad, and I know everyone that knows them and has talked to them can see this. Buddy says, is that how you're supposed to be answering me? Or Robin says, is that how you're supposed to be answering your father? Now, I use that illustration, and the illustration is flawed. You know why? Because Bo and Duke don't talk back to their dad and mom like that. They don't answer them sarcastically like that. But if they did, they'd be put in their place. They'd be set straight. They'd be set straight. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And I said this illustration is flawed because they don't answer out of line, because they know how they ought to answer their father and their mother with respect. Okay, so we see this. Well, that's how we should answer. We need to know how we should answer. And that pure heart, everything. Think twice, speak once, right? Matthew 15, verse 18 and 19. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Every sin that you can imagine begins within the intellect. It begins with the lust. It begins with right there. Out of the heart proceeds the evil thoughts. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. And all those murders and all that, it all came. We heard of premeditated murder. That means somebody planned it out. Let me tell you something. It may be just on a whim that somebody kills somebody, but that's still premeditated murder because they've thought about it in their head before, I guarantee you. Whether they distinctly planned out that particular murder, they've had it in their mind. I don't have a problem killing somebody. I've heard people say things like that. I don't have a problem shooting somebody. They come across my property line, I'll shoot them. I'll kill them. Really? I met a guy that was very, very, I know a guy who's very tough guy, manages a ranch, works on a ranch, been working on a ranch for many, many years. With all of these people coming from across the border and all the influx of these people, he came home and they were climbing over the fence getting into his yard. His wife and daughter were in there alone. And he told them, y'all need to leave. And in perfect English, they said, you need to give us water. And he said, no, you need to leave. He pulled his shotgun out from behind the seat of his truck and pointed at him and said, y'all need to leave now. The man walked right up to the shotgun, got right in his face and said, no, you need to give us water. Very brazen. He said, there's the hose. Get your water and leave. And they did. And he said, he was shaken and trembling at the thought that he could have shot an innocent person who did not have any gun on him or knife or anything just because of the way he acted. We have people that think that they would act like that. Yeah, I don't care. No, you got to be careful here. Out of the thoughts of the heart proceed murders, adulteries, fornications, all of these things. All of the sins of the world have originated in the thoughts of man. It needs to be, our speech can betray us if we're not careful. Our speech can betray us. The things that we say, our speech needs to be looked at as the delivery system for the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, so we can act a certain way. I know that we see things and we look at somebody, and guys, I know you know this. Guys, you know this. You look at some guy, you're watching TV, you're watching some Hallmark movie or something, and you look at it and you say, that guy's gay. That guy's gay. Well, no, he's not. Yes, he is. He is. There's no doubt. I have no doubt. He is. Nope. He is. Why? Why do you say that? He's just acting straight for this part in the movie. I know. I can see it, right? Okay, so I use that kind of, I don't know. We really do know what people are, and we know how people are because of the way they carry themselves. They exhibit themselves. You don't see Buddy coming in here acting all gay. Why? Because he's not. He's not going to pretend to be. These people that are pretending, they're not pretending. I'm sorry, they're not pretending. And it's not just that. And I use that because it's something that we can see all the time and we all know. But those people that pretend to have a pure heart and they really don't, we can see it. We can see it. God can see it for sure. We need to have a pure heart. It will show in our speech. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of the heart are the issues of life. In order to get our hearts right, we must get our priorities right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I know people who will sit in a stinking tree for 4 hours waiting for a deer to come by so they can shoot it, or just look at it and say, no, I don't want that one. No, I don't want that one. Nothing came by. No, I don't want to shoot that one. But they complain about having to sit in an air-conditioned church building more than 1 hour a week and won't show up for worship services. You can sit in a tree in the cold and rain and, oh yeah, this is life right here. You'll get warmed back up when you spend eternity in hell. Something to think about. I'll sit in a tree. I will. I'll guarantee you. I'm that same guy. I'll sit in a tree for hours. What's wrong with me? I get home. It's like, lost my mind sitting up there all that time in the cold. You think God looks down at that man sitting in that tree and says, well, I know his heart must be right. I know his heart's pure. He may be in the tree on Sunday, but his heart's pure. I've had people tell me, I'm bow hunting, I'm sitting up in that tree. I've never been closer to God. I believe that. I believe that's true. You've never been closer to God than that right there, because you're as far from him as you'll ever get, and you've never been any closer to him. You're still far from him. It's a scary, scary thought. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Very familiar passage. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need singleness of mind. We need to be so determined to serve God that nothing on earth can get in our way. Not mowing the lawn, not watching TV, not watching a movie, not going to a graduation, not going to a party, not going to all the excuses that people use over and over and over for missing worship. Oh, I got a headache. I get headaches all the time. You want to talk to somebody about headaches? Come talk to me sometime. I've done everything. I've my ears pierced. I'm a man. I had my ears pierced to overcome headaches. You think that wasn't hard for me? It was difficult. I don't have them anymore because a technician took them out. They worked. They helped my headaches, knocked them out. About 75% of my headaches were gone when I had those things. I understand headaches. I ain't going to miss worship for headaches. I go to work and I got a headache, I still got to go to work. I don't want to get fired. Well, I ain't going to miss worship for no headache. I don't care how bad it is. Everybody in here may say, man, you look rough. You need to go home. Nope, I ain't going. I feel bad. I feel terrible. And I miss worship for no headache. I'm going to miss worship for anything if I can help it. Singleness of mind. Do not let anything on this earth get in your way of worshiping God and serving him. Nothing on this planet should get in the way of us serving God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. Matthew 6, 20 and 21. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, think of our speech as the delivery system of the content of the heart. Now look at that verse. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When considering that, all you have to do is listen to the way people talk, and you will get a glimpse into their heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Why do you think Jesus so often called the scribes and Pharisees hypocrites? Because they would say one thing and they would do something else. They in essence knew every letter of the law, but they wouldn't live it. Their hearts were not pure. James 1 and verse 8. James 1 and verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We've read that verse many, many times and just blow right through it. It basically is saying if he's double-minded, he's unstable in other things also. This is why we must be careful with everything that we take in, what we see, what we hear. We can't keep feeding the heart corruption and greed and expect the heart to remain pure. We go out into the world, oh, I can watch this. I've probably told you this before. I remember, never forget, I was dating Darla, and the family said, we're going to go out to see a movie. cool. A lot of our dates were like that. We spent our dates with family. So we got in their vehicle, and they had a van, and we're all going. It was her mom and dad and her and her brother and myself and her grandmother, and we're going to see a movie. We get in the movie, and we all get in this. We take up a pretty big row there, and we sit down, and the commercials go by, the previews go by of the other movies, and the movie starts. First sentence out of the guy's mouth uses a curse word. A couple more lines, another curse word. We stand up. I'm like, what's going on? Young Catholic kid, don't know what. I heard worse than that in my house, in my mother's house. And they're talking, and we get up. We're leaving. We're leaving. We didn't see the movie yet. It's just starting. We're leaving. We're not going to listen to that kind of language. And we walked out. That was, what, 38, 40 years ago? And it still has an impression on me. Still to this day. You think you can't influence other people with the things you do and the things you say? Quit giving in to Satan. Let your speech be pure. It is the avenue of the heart. We've got to be very, very careful. We won't be able to have a pure heart in the first place if we fail to let go of those worldly things. We keep living the worldly life that we were living before we became Christians when nobody else is around. There's no Christians around here, so I can live like they live. I can live like them and act like them and talk like them because I don't see nobody from the church here. You've got to be careful. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Not long ago, I used an illustration, and it was an old illustration, about three items in boiling water. And the lady was given an illustration to her daughter, and she put an egg in boiling water, and she put a carrot in boiling water, and then she put coffee in boiling water. And after it was finished, she made the observation. She took the egg and she broke the shell and she showed the daughter what the inside was looked like. She said, the boiling water has taken this egg that was clean and fluid, and it's turned it into something hard and rigid. We even call it a hard-boiled egg. And then she took the carrot out and she said, if you remember the carrot, it was crisp and hard, and it went into the water crisp and hard and relentless. It came out soft and mushy. But the coffee goes into the water dry and it comes out wet. Not much change, but it changed the water that it was put into. As Christians living in a twisted and sinful world that is getting worse and twisted and more sinful every single day, we need to make sure that we don't let the things of the world influence us or change us, but we need to change the world. It's not going to change by anybody else but us. You think there's other people out there trying to change the world for the better? They're not. There are people trying to change it for the worse. We're talking about this Roe versus Wade thing that just passed. Great, it should have happened 50 years ago, not now. It should have happened a long time ago. Quit killing humans. Quit killing babies. But you know what? The people that were against it are protesting now that these clinics have opened up that are convincing mothers to not abort their babies. They convinced them by showing them a sonogram. And now they're burning those clinics. This is pure evil. Pure, pure evil. We're in a twisted and sinful world. We need to change the world. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We are in complete control of the heart, and as such, we must prepare the heart to do right. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He didn't just study God's word. He prepared his heart to do that, to do God's word. I want to do what's right. I want to serve what God. Okay, so what do you need to do to serve God? What do you need to do to obey the gospel? Well, you need to study. First of all, you need to hear the word of God, so you need to know what it says. So Ezra prepared himself to serve God. That means that he knew exactly what God wanted. He looked at those things and saw those things and studied those things to see exactly what God wanted so that he could serve him correctly. Well, I didn't know. Well, we need to know. Keeping that in mind, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Keeping ourselves, our hearts pure, means not letting the thoughts wander. Not putting ourselves in a position to let the mind wander. Not opening up the heart and letting the corruption of the world in. We sometimes put ourselves in places where we shouldn't be. I've never forget a friend of mine told me one time, he said, let me tell you something. And he was a worldly guy. And he told me, he said, you know, we were in Chicago, Illinois on an elevator. I'll never forget it. And he said, you know, my mother told me, never go somewhere you wouldn't want to be when Jesus comes back. And he said, and I've lived by that. I don't go places that I shouldn't be should Jesus return. I just wish he would obey the gospel. Keeping our hearts pure means not letting those thoughts wander. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Pay attention to that. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the renewing of the mind. 24 people on the board read their Bible every single day. That number changed. I thought that number would get stagnant. I thought it would just stay the same. I thought it would become static after a week or two, after a couple of weeks. It fluctuates. Part of the reason it fluctuates is some people that, well, I missed a couple of days. I got tied up and I missed a couple of days. Don't get into that. Don't feel bad about that. Open your Bible in the morning before you go to work. Read a couple of verses. Go through. I've given you a prescription that's very, very easy. One chapter of Proverbs every day, one chapter of James every day. You can skip the James because it's only Monday through Friday. But read that. Prepare the heart. Prepare the heart. Get in that. Get in that. Get in that. Get in the Word of God until the Word of God gets into you. Let's not have to say, well, I didn't get a chance to that. Do that today. Did you eat that day? Yep. Three meals. Three meals. It doesn't take long. And I'm not challenging you to read a book of the Bible every day or four chapters or five chapters, anything. Read a verse. If you read one verse, Jesus wept every single day, you can still raise your hand. I read the Bible every single day. I don't care. It's a challenge for you to get your thoughts and intents of the heart right. Get in the Bible. Get in the book. That's all we're saying. That's all I'm challenging you to do. Can we say that we are pure in heart if we haven't done those things? Are we pure in the heart? God laid out a plan. He's even given us a lot of helpful advice on how to reach our goals, how to become holy as He is holy. But it will never work if we continue to drift along with the tide, or worse yet, join the crowd. How many people have joined the crowd? They've joined the corruption. You think that Satan's not working behind the scenes? He's dividing us politically. He's dividing us religiously. He's dividing the country. He's working very, very hard to make it hard on you. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Some people tell me, why? I don't understand why my kids don't listen to me. I don't understand why they won't come around. I try to get them to... Are you living the kind of example that they need to see? If they see you miss worship every other Sunday, they're not going to think it's important. We have to be consistent. We need to separate ourselves from the world. We've got to be in the world, but the world doesn't have to be in us. In fact, if it is, we won't be pure of heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 16. I only got two more pages and we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, for it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, I said I will get to the seeing part later, and so I will, briefly. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. As for seeing God, the pure in heart see God in many areas of life. Psalm 19 and verse 1. Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The pure in heart are open to God's word. If you ever talk to somebody who's like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. Can't you see God in the creation? I see everything in it. I don't see God anywhere. I don't say they've closed their minds. When you try to talk about, I guess you're going to bring up the Bible now. I don't believe in the Bible either. I don't care about all that. But the pure in heart will see God. We see God in our brethren because they have Christ dwelling in them. Never had somebody do something to you that just shocked you? And I'm talking about something good. Somebody does something for you, and you're like, I don't deserve that. I did not deserve that. That's a godly person right there that did that for me. The brethren reach out and help the brethren. John 15 and verse 5. John 15 and verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If Jesus and God, being part of the Godhead, are dwelling in one another, and we have Christ dwelling in us, and we are in Christ, we put Christ on in baptism, we become in Christ, then we can see God in our brethren. We see God in the many blessings that He bestows upon us. James chapter 1 and verse 17, and we'll close. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The pure in heart are not blessed because they are perfect. The pure in heart are blessed because they have totally submitted themselves to the will of the Father. 100% commitment. Are you 100% committed to Christ? Are you 100% committed to God? Are you 100% committed to Christianity and living the Christian life? 100%. Blessed are the pure in heart indeed, for they have learned to overcome anger and greed and bitterness and envy and 1,000 other things that could burden the soul. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.